That's Paul Whiteman's band and their version of April Showers, one of the hit songs of 1922. And it was on a Thursday evening in April that the University of Illinois' WRM Radio, which would eventually be renamed WYLL, went on the air for the first time. The student newspaper, the Daily Illini, reported on that first broadcast with a front-page article.
Radio service spreads news of university. With the simplicity of talking into a telephone mouthpiece, Dean Thomas Arkell Clark inaugurated the radio broadcasting service of the university last night at the Electrical Engineering Laboratory.
Dean Clark's talk on why college students fail was followed by other short talks on dairy science and park development, as well as news about U of I athletics, construction of the new Memorial Stadium, and a few jokes thrown in for good measure. Soon, the campus auditorium, called Folinger Auditorium today, was wired for radio, and WRM was bringing its listeners live concerts by student musical groups. Like the Varsity Men's Glee Club, sounding like they did in this WYLL recording made years later. WRM broadcast its first Illini football game in 1923, and game broadcasts would be a regular feature of the station up into the 1970s. But the station's output was modest at first, broadcasting just once or twice a week, with a focus on faculty lectures and student musical performances. University of Illinois trustees made it clear that they wanted to provide an educational service. University President David Kinley wasn't ready to spend a lot of money on radio, and he complained in a letter to a trustee about the extra work WRM was creating.
They seem to think that we people here are not busy and have leisure enough to be putting on programs, giving lectures, etc., for broadcasting. I cannot myself see that there is any advantage in its accepting what might be credited to advertising.
But University of Michigan media historian Susan Douglas says others in the academic realm saw radio as a new way to educate America.
You know, radio was accompanied by a host of utopian predictions about educating people, about uplifting the illiterate, about radio becoming a giant university, you know, in the sky, where people could hear lectures that they could never hear in person because they were too far away or they didn't have the money to go to school.
The Daily Illini was among those early optimists. After WRM's first broadcast, an editorial in the student newspaper predicted that the station would help deepen old college ties.
Through the newly licensed radio broadcasting station here, the university will gain one distinct and outstanding advantage, a better informed alumni. Conveying the sounds of university life will give a much more personal touch than the cold, blank type of newspaper and magazine correspondence.
Folks, now here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red-hot hoochie-coocher.
Cab Calloway's Minnie the Moocher was a hit song in the early 1930s as WRM, now known as WYLL, entered its second decade. The station was broadcasting daily now from its own building on the U of I campus, courtesy of a wealthy donor. But it faced a new challenge as federal regulators worked to clear out interference due to too many stations broadcasting on the limited AM radio band. FM, TV, and the Internet were not yet options, so regulators started deciding which stations could broadcast on what frequencies, at what times, and with how much power. U of I professor emeritus and media scholar Robert McChesney says there were winners and losers in that process.
For the rest of the stations, including all the educational stations, they were put at lower power on signals where they had to share the signal with other stations in their community, including WILL. They didn't get the thing for the entire amount of time. They got it for a portion of the time, and then like maybe a station owned by a business would get 6 hours one day on the same slot.
WYLL's transmitter power was restricted, and it had to take turns broadcasting with two other stations on the same frequency. WYLL Director Joseph Wright expressed his frustration in a letter.
those of us responsible for the direction of station WILL at various times seriously contemplated retirement from the broadcasting game. This is due solely to the fact that our power limitations so restricted our audience that we felt that we could not justify the expenditure of tax money to go ahead with the work, even though the total yearly cost of operating the station is absurdly low.
The Fleischmann's East Hour, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Vallee.
My time is your time. Your time is my time.
In 1935, Rudy Vallee was one of the top names in network radio, and in that same year, WILL gained some much-needed stability. The Federal Communications Commission assigned the station to 580 AM, the frequency it still has today. In the decades to come, WILL would build a program schedule dedicated to both learning and culture, and reach out to other educational broadcasters to lay the groundwork for today's nationwide system of public broadcasting. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.